You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Last week, Te Huirangi Waikerepuru passed away. We touched on the gravity of this loss on The Wire on Thursday, but time hadn't really allowed for a proper tribute. Over the weekend, these tributes flowed. One in particular caught my eye. Marae, the TV programme on TVNZ on Sunday mornings, had transformed its programming format in order to act as an actual marae for the show so that people around the motu can acknowledge and pay tribute to huirangi as they would on a marae at a tangi. COVID-19 dahui restrictions have meant that tangihanga have not been able to occur as they normally would, and this has been a huge source of pain for many people. Scotty Morrison is the presenter of Marae TV, and I will just let him introduce himself.
Scotty Morrison, tōku ingoa, he ahorangi ahau I te kunenga ki pūrehu roa, he kaiwhakapāho hoki I ngā hōtaka o te reo tātaki o Aotearoa ko te karare me marae. So my name's Scotty Morrison, I'm an associate professor at Massey University, and I'm also the presenter of TVNZ's Māori programs, Te Karare and Marae, and also on Te Reo Irirangi o Wātea, Radio Wātea, 6:03 a.m.
Tēnā koe. Phew, that's quite the intro, eh?
I was thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't do the radio because it might be in competition with your thing.
Oh, nah, we're good friends with Wātea. They were good friends with them.
Ka pai, that's the one.
I spoke to him to understand more about why they decided to do what they did and started by asking him to explain a bit about Huirangi Waikerepuru himself and why such an acknowledgement was necessary.
Well, the sad thing is Huirangi Waikerepuru would have had one of the biggest tangi in recent years. So because of the restrictions that were under, he was taken straight to the urupa or to the burial site. Then the day after he passed away and was almost immediately interred. So he didn't get the opportunity to receive all the accolades from all of the tribes right across the country. And it would have been a very significant tangi because he was a well-known orator and educator and activist for Māori language revival and Indigenous rights. And he was significant because he led the case to the Privy Council that the New Zealand government should recognise and protect Māori language as a taonga under the Treaty of Waitangi. And this led also to his fight for recognition of the Māori language and the importance of its presence in broadcasting. And so he was a strong advocate for the allocation of broadcasting assets to Māori. And because of these challenges that he made, things like Māori radio stations, iwi radio stations, and even Māori television were some of the benefits that have come about because of his struggles and his advocacy and his willingness to go to extremes, to Privy Councils and to go overseas to London to fight for Māori language and its presence on in the broadcasting environment. So, yeah, apart from being all of those other things, a well-known educator and activist and an orator and expert of Māori language, he also fought for our presence in broadcasting. And so we owe a great deal to him, and Māori, especially right across the country, knew of his significance and of all of the fabulous and magnificent work that he had done for promotion and revitalization and regeneration of Māori language. And so this is why I say he was a very significant figure and would have had a very significant tangi. And that led us on the Marae program to start to discuss how we could pay the appropriate acknowledgement to Huirangi and give the tribal speakers across the country the chance that they didn't get because of the lockdown and the coronavirus.
Mm. I guess before we go to the program, could you explain a bit about how important tangihanga is in that process of farewelling somebody and what these restrictions do mean for that process?
Well, I would say that tangihanga is probably the most significant and most important tikanga or cultural event in Māoridom. So basically, when someone, especially with the mana, with the prestige of Huirangi passes away, Māoridom basically stops and everyone heads to the Tangihana. And basically, you're required to attend in person. It's a cultural aspect that most people adhere to, and they will go in person. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the word tangi or tangihana, basically if someone at your school or at your workplace, if they're going to a tangi, they're going to a funeral. And in traditional times, the funeral would last several days and sometimes weeks. I mean, there's a lot of anecdotal history around King Koroki, for example, his tangihana that lasted months, and that he was taken around right around the Waikato area and to Ichimarae and was mourned there, so it took a long time. The body being wrapped in kawakawa leaves and harakeke and smeared with kōkōwai or the red ochre, adorned with feathers and ranks of rank and propped up or laid down on mange mange, which is kind of like a bed of fern. But nowadays, our tūpāpaku, or the body of the deceased, is kept on the marae, usually in an open casket, dressed with fine ceremonial clothing, and then speeches are delivered directly to the deceased person as the wairu, or the spirit of that person, and our customary belief is yet to depart to the abode of eternity. So you get the chance to farewell that person in a spiritual sense, and so the language that's used is very metaphorical, very poetical, and of a level that's not really heard in common conversation. So it's a different type of language altogether. Women generally play a major role as well. They keep constant vigil over the tūpāpaku until it's taken to the burial ground. And, you know, sometimes people find the whole tangihana process quite daunting, especially if they're going there for the first time. And as I said before, you're expected to attend the tangi in person if you knew the deceased. But, you know, usually with some preparation, and if you're new to it and you're not really familiar with it, I would say a visit to the marae for a tangi can be a very purifying experience and a chance to say goodbye to the loved one. So right through the 3 or 4 days now, which is how long most tangi are nowadays, right through the 3 or 4 days of the grieving, there's a lot of healing that takes place. It gives people a lot of time to heal. Gives people a lot of time to deal with their grief. It gives people a lot of time to laugh, to cry, and to show the range of emotions that they need to heal themselves and to find a way to cope with the grief that they are experiencing because of the passing of one of their loved ones. So a lot of people say that, you know, no one does death better than Māori. So you know, it's a really, tangihana, if you haven't experienced it, it's a cultural aspect of Māori people that has survived through colonization, and even though there are some parts of it that are different, the ethos and the essence of it still remain the same, and it's a very beautiful and very poignant way that we adhere to, that we uphold, to make sure that we send the spirit of the deceased one to the to their ancestors in an appropriate way.
And that healing point is a really, really important point. So these restrictions, they would be having quite an effect on the ability for whānau to come together and to heal.
Absolutely. They're having a huge impact, and I'm hearing a lot of stories around from whānau who have had people pass away. And in fact, my wife Stacey's grandmother passed away. I think we were still, or might have been on lockdown 3 or level 3 of the lockdown then. But, you know, sort of the big gatherings had already been stopped, and so she couldn't go to her marae, and her tangihana would have been a significant one as well, because she was a very well-known kuia, matriarch of her tribal area in Rotorua, well-known right across the country. Actually, her and Huirangi were kind of a couple. They were like the figureheads of a lot of different organisations and a lot of different conferences and, you know, initiatives, whatever was going on. They were figureheads. They went around the country quite a lot together, Stacey's grandmother and Huirangi. And she passed away probably about 2 weeks before he did. And, yeah, so we had to restrict numbers. We couldn't take her to the marae. We couldn't do the hongi and shake hands and things like that. So we all had to keep a bit of social distancing. So the tangi ended up being quite a small one. It was still very beautiful. Still had the healing elements in it, but it was a little bit shorter than usual. And actually, it was a good demonstration of how Māori had adjusted to the new to the new environment, because we did drive past Te Marae, and when we went to Te Marae at Waka Village in Rotorua, where you go across the bridge to a stream, and then there's the Waka Village is kind of like almost pre-European times in terms of how it's set up and what it looks like. The buildings, of course, have got some new materials, but it's still village-like, and a lot of steam and geysers there. And as we went across the bridge, the whole tribe had got together, and they were still standing, you know, a couple of metres apart, but they had all lined up, and they did a full-on welcome to her. And then one of them came out and did a speech, and they did some songs and sang to her and farewelled her without actually engaging and coming across and you know, being amongst us as the bereaved family. So it was a good demonstration of how Māori had adjusted to it straight away, almost immediately. But, I mean, in its essence, that's what our tikanga is. Our tikanga is adjustable. Our tikanga is flexible. And so what we found is that Māori have adjusted quite quickly to the new environment and changed a lot of our tikanga. Things like when whānau are mourning someone who's passed away during the lockdown phase, so there's things like karakia happening over the internet. I mean, a lot of the churches are delivering church services over the internet. I mean, the ultimate scenario is that they're actually there in person to be able to cater for people's spiritual needs, etc. And so same thing with a lot of our tohunga te ao Māori, people who can do karakia at those particular times, they're having to do them, perform them over the ipurangi or over the phone, over the internet or over the phone, but they're still, you know, it's the adjustments that are being made, and they're still trying to uphold a lot of the tikanga even though they're unable to be there in person. So it is a really difficult time, especially, as I said, the tangihana is a paramount event in Māoridom, and we're unable to hold them at the moment, so we're making adjustments, but it is very, very tough for a lot of the whānau who are experiencing bereavements within their whānau environments at the moment. It's challenging.
And I guess one of the ways that Marae has adapted to that in terms of the TV show, you guys sort of changed the format or actually became a physical marae in a way. So could you speak to the role that the marae plays and the kind of the speaking of different people?
Yeah, so the marae itself, as we know, is home base basically for Māori. So whenever there is, that's where we hold all our significant events. So if we're going to have a tangihana, it'll be taken to the marae. The body will be taken to the marae, and people will be invited to come and pay their acknowledgements and do their eulogies. So because we're unable to do that, and the name of our show is Marae, and so I suppose the genesis for the idea that our show, the marae itself, becomes a marae, actually becomes a virtual marae, came from our producer, Blake Ihimaira, and she basically sent me a whole lot of information and said, this is what I'm thinking, what do you reckon? And I sort of added my little bits to it. But I think the whole marae team all had their little parts to play, because people had to go out, and, you know, we've got people around the country who are contracted to marae, who do reporting for marae. So they were all contacted, they all bought into the idea. So it was a very, very much a team effort. But yeah, basically Blake had the idea, and I looked at the idea and refined it a little bit, but we were both on the same page in terms of opening the marae, turning marae, the program, into a marae, a virtual marae, and getting people, speakers, mandated speakers from around each tribal area to actually put their suits on and stand there in front of the camera as if they were actually at Huirangi's marae and do their eulogies and perform their whaikōrero, do their oratory as if they were there. And give them the chance to do that, because they weren't going to get the chance to do it, or they didn't get the chance to do it when Huirangi passed away, because he was taken straight to the urupā and buried. So we thought, well, let's turn marae, the program, into a virtual marae and do that, and give people the actual chance to do what they would have done if we were in normal circumstances. Mm. And so that's where the idea came from, and then it started to go from there. And then I said to her, well, if we're going to do it like that, let's do it like it would be in a marae. So we can start with a karanga. What would happen, I'll do instead of presenting normally, I'll present whaikōrero style, so it's more like an oratory being delivered rather than a presenter style of delivering what I'm going to say, and then hand over the actual mauri and the mana of marae to the Taranaki people and say, the marae is yours, you have the mana, welcome everybody onto your marae and get them to, and they'll speak. So we had some fabulous, very eloquent speakers from Tainui, from Ngāpui up north and all the northern tribes, then down to Waipounamu with Sir Tipene O'Regan, and then across to the east coast where Wayne Ngata spoke on their behalf. Tiripo I. Higgins gave some reflections and memories on behalf of Tūhoe, and then we went back, as you do in a marae, and we went back to the people of Taranaki for them to close off, and for the Māori and the mana of the marae that day to remain with the people of Taranaki, and so Rua Kere Hond closed it off and said a very poignant thing at the end, that when this is all over and when COVID-19 isn't part of our world anymore, they'll get people to come to Taranaki, and they'll do what we call a kawemate, which is kind of like where you have the tangi, even though the deceased person isn't there anymore, but you take a photo and you still go through the process of tangi as if they were there. So that will happen at some stage when the time is right. But, I thought it was quite... it's hard for me to talk about a show that I'm on, but I thought it was, when I watched it, because I hadn't seen it all put together, but when I watched it, I thought, it was fabulous. It was quite groundbreaking in a pivotal moment, and something we might not see again because we might not be in these circumstances
exactly.
again. So a lot of awesome feedback from people, and it's been uploaded up onto the internet now and onto TVNZ demand for people who want to watch it, and it'll be ad-free, because one thing I was a bit sort of that I got agitated about was the ads coming on right in the middle of, you know, some really deep and meaningful speeches happening, and then an ad pops up. But you know, that's just sort of, you know, what how TV is, and that's something we just have to cope with. But to watch it online without the ads, you really go through an emotional roller coaster, and you go through a lot of healing, and that's exactly what happens when you go to a tangi. So I thought it reflected that well, and it was just it was beautiful. I watched it, and you know, as I said, I'm in it, so it's hard to, you know, I get the old, boy, I need to call Kumarai a kororo on my pono reka. Here's the old Kumarai speaking about its own sweetness. But you know, even if I wasn't in it, I would have watched it and thought, wow, that was something really special that I just watched.
Exactly. That's exactly how I felt, and that's why I sort of wanted to touch on it with you today. So I guess, I mean, there's nothing more to say, really. You've done it all, and I just want to say thank you to you and everybody who was part of making that piece of history. Like you say, it may not happen again, and we may not need to, but you did what you needed to do for that moment. Kia ora.
Tēnā koe, Lillian, e mihi atu ana ki a koutou, o PFM, kia kaha, kia maia, kia manawa nui koutou, tātou katoa i roto i tēnei noho rāhui whakamoho ao in our little lockdown room. Kia kaha e hoama.
Tēnā koe, skore.
And stay safe.
Ai.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.